Good morning. Welcome to Elmira Baptist Church Sunday School for January 17, 2021. It is a privilege to be here to share with you, again, another one of the One Another commands. We've been studying reciprocal living, which is a study of all of the One Another commands, that each other, all the commands of Scripture that have each other in the New Testament and one another. Applying reciprocal responsibility for fulfillment, praying for one another as I pray for you, you pray for me, and recalling that pattern of obeying those commands and that pattern of behavior and conduct in the Christian church as reciprocal living, that is, living in obedience to the one another commands. And it's been a great blessing to me as I have gone into these again and looked at all of the deep truths associated with the obedience to these commands and how it's an expression of our fellowship in the body of Christ because we are members one of another. And today we're going to be looking at one that's not in the top 10. It's do not murmur against one another. King James has it, do not grudge against one another. And you think, well, I know the Israelites murmured, but are we murmuring now? And the answer is yes, we are. So we're going to look at that. But first, we're going to have a word of prayer. I do want to ask you first to get a handout. If you're in Sunday school, welcome to everybody. Get a handout. This is hard to hear and follow if you don't have a handout. So I really strongly encourage you to get a handout. If you are at home and don't have one, call the church office. Really would love for you to have a handout. See if we can't get one to you. And on the handout today, we're going to have introduction, command, definition, comment, then a note to the comment, then two biblical examples, and principles, and the importance of not murmuring against one another. We have a lot of material, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us understand this material as He would have us to understand it so we can obey Him. Father, thank You for the great privilege of sharing Your word. I pray that You would be with everyone that is listening, everyone that hears this. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would superintend over this process, that Your Spirit would help me to be clear, Your Spirit would help me to be very concise in what I say. And I pray that You would help the hearers also, Father, that Your Spirit would drive home the truth of this message of what we should not be doing, murmuring, complaining, grudging, grumbling into our hearts. And help us, Father, to not be those that grumble, but help us to be those that love and promote unity in the body of Christ. Bless each one that hears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as I've said, we are looking at do not murmur against one another. Now, we're going to look at this subject from the context of our passage where the command is found in James 5, 9. We're going to read 7 through 11 in a few minutes. But I want to focus in this presentation, and as I share with you about not murmuring or not complaining or not grumbling, I want to share from the standpoint of not murmuring against one another, because we can also murmur or complain or grudge against God like the Israelites did in the Old Testament, and God was very displeased with that. And I want to, though, briefly touch on that so that we can see how reprehensible, how horrible that was to God. And what a terrible sin that was. So we're going to look at murmuring against one another, and we're going to look at murmuring against God. Now, I've already mentioned the synonyms, don't grumble, don't complain. The King James has it, don't grudge. We think of grudge as I'm holding resentment against you because of something you did. But it can also mean to complain or grumble or murmur. I'm going to use murmur because I like that, because it reminds you of that murmur, if people are talking. Now, as I was looking at this, I started thinking about sins involving the tongue. Just in the one another commands, the sins that involve the tongue are: don't lie, don't speak evil, don't murmur, don't bite and devour one another. And those four out of the 26 or so one another commands, that's over 20% of the sins, and certainly of the negative things, because there's only about eight of the seven or eight of those. It's a great proportion of the one another commands is involved in telling us not to misuse the tongue. Now, James picked up on this. James is a very, very smart man. And he said, the tongue, James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, that's a harsh description of the tongue, but probably a little bit held back there, because the tongue is evil. The tongue can be such a tool of evil and hurt people so badly, and really have such a powerful consequences on people. Now, it's been said that the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. It certainly sounds like it could be true. But I'll tell you what I know is true, is the mouth and tongue are the exhaust pipe, because such bad things come out of our mouths. You know, Scripture says blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth, and that, brethren, that should not be so. And so, you know, I ask you, what's coming out of your mouth, blessing or cursing? And I'm not necessarily talking about only profanity. I'm talking about the evil words that are said about and to others. So how and why does murmuring happen? Well, there are difficult circumstances. In fact, James is about practical Christian living in terms of suffering through trials and difficulties that we are experiencing. And those circumstances can bring out the best in Christians or the worst. We can bear those issues patiently. We can be confident that God will work all things for our good, or we can sigh and grumble and be so weary that, oh, such is our lot in life. James, who had such a great insight as to how faith works and faith in God works itself out in our daily Christian experience, really address this in James. And Pastor taught about this when he first came in James. It was a wonderful, wonderful series. One of the things that James said was that, and he realizes that Christians can tend to take out on others their bad moods and blame their trials and failures and difficulties on one another. And they can feel that they've been taken advantage of or presumed upon. And so they grumble, they murmur, and they complain to their fellows about the other brother or brothers or sisters that hurt them. And James says to this, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. These things ought not so to be. James 3:10. So, why is it important? The fourth bullet here. Now I have five things I want to say, and I know it's not in your handout, and I didn't get it in your handout, but I want you to listen for effect. Why is it important not to murmur? Number one, it reflects a wrong attitude to and about God. It reflects a wrong attitude to and about God. And I want to add to that, it's a wrong attitude about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's an attack on his character, okay? So it reflects a wrong attitude about God. Number two, it's sin. Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, grudging is offensive to God, and it's offensive to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number three, not only it reflects a wrong attitude about God, number two, it's sin and offensive to God. Number three, it causes great harm and injury to ourselves, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to our church. So it causes great harm and injury. Number four, and not only number one, reflects our wrong attitude towards God. It's sin and it's offensive to God. It causes great harm and injury. Number four, it stems from sinful thinking, like pride. We say to ourselves before we complain about another in the body of Christ, I have the right to do this. What right do we have to complain? We don't. That's judging, really. What right do we have to complain? We don't have that right. That's prideful to say I have the right to do that. It's setting ourselves up as judge. So it stems from, number four, it stems from sinful attitude like pride. And number five, it's related to other sins. Now, I'm going to list a laundry list of sins. Don't expect you to get those down. But it's related to judging. It's related to lust. It's related to pride. It's related to speaking evil. It's related to biting and devouring one another. It's related to rebellion. It's related to anger, jealousy, envy, and so on and so forth. So why is it important? It reflects a wrong attitude about God. And it's sin. Number two, it's sin and offensive to God. And number three, it causes great harm and injury to ourselves and to the church. And it stems from a sinful attitude like pride. It is related to other sins. So you can see the sinfulness of murmuring and complaining and grudging. Okay, let's look at our command. James 5:9, looking at context 7 through 11. Now, I want you to look at this because our context here is James is saying, be patient, okay? And he's saying, you're living under trials and tribulations and going through those, and your trials work patience in your life, and let patience have its perfect work. And he's saying, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. So how many times is patience going to be mentioned here, or other words like patience? Okay, and see, you can see how powerful that context is. Be patient, therefore, one, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's like farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not. This is our main verse here. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and of patience. Four, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, number five, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and that word is full of compassion, and tender mercy. The Lord is kind and full of compassion and of tender mercy. Five times patience is used. Do you think he's interested in telling you about patience? Yes. Be patient in trials while you're waiting on the coming of the Lord. And not only that, but if you see in verse 7, waiteth is the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit and hath long patience. So that's another word related to patience. And then in verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. That's another word for patience, similar to it. And so we have a patience used five times, endure used once, and waiteth used another time. Now, let's look at verse 9, grudge not. And that word grudge is the word we're saying synonym for murmuring, complaining, grumbling, grudging, translated different ways. And King James uses grudging. Not against another, brethren, lest ye be. That word condemned is judged. And that word is krino that we studied last week. Do not judge one another. lest ye be judged. Now here this speaks of a judge judging us because we're grudging one another. And you see number two in, I want to go back to grudge. That word is stenazo, S-T-E-N-A-Z-O. It means to groan. It refers to an inward, unexpressed feeling of sorrow. It means to groan, sigh, murmur, complain, grudge, or grumble. Pretty straightforward. And then, lest ye be condemned or judged is krino, the word we studied last week. Don't judge one another. That means to separate, select, and choose, to determine, and so to judge and pronounce judgment. Well, somebody's about to pronounce judgment on us if we grudge one another. And so it says, behold, the judge standeth before the door. And I want to share this quote with you. This is MacArthur, John MacArthur. He said, don't grumble, the judge is standing at the door. James pictures Christ. That's who the judge is here. James pictures Christ as a judge about to open the doors to a courtroom and convene his court, picturing his second coming, knowing that the strain of persecution could lead to grumbling and complaining and murmuring. James cautioned his readers against that sin, us, lest they forfeit their full reward. That's the judgment there. Lose your reward because you're grudging. And then he gives, in this passage, he not only mentions patience five times, waiteth once, enduring once, but he gives three examples about how we are to be patient. Look at verse 7. Behold, example number one, the husbandman or farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, waiteth for the harvest, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. And then number two is in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets. For example, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. The prophets are an example of having patience. And number three, the example of Job. Now here's the hallmark of patience. Job, in fact, he says, the patience of Job, which has become a phrase that we often hear now, because he was so patient in even his three friends coming and haranguing about what he wasn't doing, and his wife telling him to curse God and die. Job was patient in his suffering and trial. And what we are waiting for is to see the end of the Lord. The Lord is very kind and full of compassion and tender mercy. So, the judge is the word up in verse 9. I wanted to mention this is the third under the command, third paragraph, krites. It means a judge. And Christ is a judge, and we're waiting for him. And it's almost as we're waiting for him to come in the door, and we should be living in expectation of he might come through that door any minute. I'm looking back at the sanctuary doors there. He might be coming in that door any minute. And that's the imagery here, and that's powerful. Let's look at the definition. So the definition is, and I've broken it up into segments to make it easier for us to understand. Murmuring, that is grumbling, complaining against one another, is number one, judgmental communication, which is negative. Okay. Number two, judgmental communication, which is negative, expressing discontent, dissatisfaction, displeasure, criticism, and accusations, or impatience. Number three, regarding or about one or more believers, made to others. Number four. Number five, usually in secret. There's a hint in the word of implied secrecy. And number six, and possibly with malicious or evil intent. So looking at that again, I'm going to read it quickly. Judgmental communication, which is negative, expressing discontent, dissatisfaction, displeasure, criticisms, accusations, or impatience regarding or about one or more believers made to others, usually in secret and possibly with malicious intent. So, number one is the what it is. What is it? It's judgmental communication. It's negative judgmental communication. Number two, what's in it? Expressing discontent, dissatisfaction, displeasure, criticisms, accusations, impatience. Impatience is important there because that was one of the things that James was saying. We should be patient. Number three is what's it about? It's regarding or about one or more believers. Made to others. Who is it for? It's made to others. And then who knows about it? It's usually done in secret. And why is it done? Possibly for evil, malicious intent. Okay, let's look at the top of page 2. Now, because I was so stunned about all of the things that this command implies and involves as far as this sin, I wanted to do a little bit of an evaluation here and analyze this a little bit. What all does this entail? What's involved with this, murmuring and complaining? Well, number one, murmuring is related to unbiblical judging. It's often a sinful vocalization or speaking about verbalization or an expression of unbiblical judgment of others. We judge and then we say something about another person to other people. It can result in speaking evil of one another. That's number one. Number two bullet, murmuring is related to judging one another and speaking evil of one another, but it's not exactly the same. While similar to judging and speaking evil, murmuring is different in that it's related to the sin of impatience. Remember, patience was mentioned 5 times, and then wait, and then also endurance were mentioned once. And so it's related to the sin of impatience. Number three, murmuring also involves the idea of the secretive nature of speaking. And I always think of people speaking in low voices, the whisper campaign that goes on. Number four, murmuring to one another or to God is a reflection of our dissatisfaction, in other words, we don't like it, with God's gracious provision or his plan for us. God knows what is good for us. We say, that's not good enough. And it can occur, it can happen because of our irritation with our trials and our suffering. I don't want this, God. This is not right for me. You don't know what's right for me. And it can be expressed negatively while blaming someone else, either God or someone else, that is taking it out on others because of our own lack of patience. Let's look at number 5. And this is hard to see. I had to think about this a long time. But I believe it to be true. And I think Scripture teaches this. Murmuring is a serious sin, much more than it sounds, because it's rebellion against God and an attack on his character. Whoa, you say, I didn't know that. Well, I have a quote. I don't have, it's an unknown who wrote it, anonymous. But this is one of the best quotes I've ever given you in Sunday school. Murmuring is an outward manifestation. It's what we finally can see of an inward lawlessness and rebellion against a holy God. Murmuring is an outward manifestation of an inward lawlessness and rebellion against God. This crystallizes the issue of the sinfulness of murmuring. Murmuring is rebellion against God, and it attacks his character. You're saying to God, you're not a just and good God, and you're not loving because you don't give me what I want. In fact, murmuring is actually idolatry. Murmuring is idolatry. You say, I'm not worshiping idols. Yes, you are if you murmur, because we then put our comfort, our pleasure, our desires, our cares and wants ahead of God's will, and we're worshiping ourselves because that's the number one thing that we're seeking. Now, isn't that unbelievable? How sinful is murmuring? No wonder God was so angry at the Israelites for murmuring, and we'll see that in just a second. Note, the note. I'm going to read the note. Whether we're murmuring against God or I'm murmuring against someone else, one another, we're actually still murmuring against God because it's sin. And sin is trespassing against God. Matthew 25:40, remember the verse where the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whether it was good or bad. When he judged the good, he said that. When he judged the bad, he said that too. And as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So whether I am grumbling against God or grudging against God or complaining against God, or whether I'm doing it against a brother or sister in Christ, I'm still sinning against God. So it's against God. And Colossians 3:23-24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord. Whatever we're doing, we just don't serve the Lord when we come to church on Sunday. We serve the Lord every day. Our worship is every day. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons. When we judge, or rather when we murmur against one another, judge was last week, when we murmur against one another, we are sinning against God. And it's just as if we did it to God. Matthew 25:40, I got a quote. Whoever receives you, this is actually Matthew 10:40. Whoever receives you receives me. Misquote. Matthew 10:40. Whoever receives you receives me. Christ lives in his people. We are also known in 2 Corinthians as ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, how his ambassadors are treated, or we treat his ambassadors, is how we treat Christ. It's just as when I serve one another, I am praying for one another, I am loving one another, but when I do wrong to another person, another brother or sister in Christ, it's just as if I was doing it to Christ himself. And that puts a personal face on the sin of murmuring. And it reads, and it actually gives me great pause to recognize how difficult and horrible that sin is. The result of our disobedience to this command is God's judgment, where he says, the Lord Christ is the judge and stands before the door. So we want to live our lives as if Christ was about to come in the door. Look at biblical examples. We have two. One is an example of murmuring against one another, and it's the Acts 6, when the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, starting with verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. And I actually added those last couple of verses because I wanted you to see, when murmuring is resolved, when there isn't any murmuring, there's a great blessing that ensues. And the murmuring is in verse 1, where the Grecians were complaining about the Hebrews because the Grecians' widows were not being taken care of. And that word in murmuring is the word gongusmos. And it is spelled in your handout, G-O-N-G-U-S-M-O-S. And it means muttering, murmuring. And also it has a sense of a secret debate among people, and it's translated complaining many places. Gongusmos. Well, that was resolved because they took care of the problem. There wasn't any need for murmuring. All they had to do is bring it up, and the apostles resolved it. Number two is against God. Paul speaks to the Corinthians against the example of Israel in the wilderness in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. Moreover, brethren, I want you to look at when we get down around verse 6 and 7, I want you to look at all the sins that accompany murmuring. I would not that you be ignorant of how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they are overthrown in the wilderness. But these things were for our examples, to the intent. Here's the purpose of him telling this story. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Number one, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Number two, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. So immorality. Number three, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur. Four. Murmuring is in there. Is one of the big sins. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them for our examples, and they are written for our instruction, our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. These things are written for our understanding. Look at that, verse 7, idolatry. Verse 8, immorality. Testing God, verse 9. These sins are associated with murmuring. In verse 10, complaining and murmuring is rebelling, is rebellion, and it's related to these other sins committed by Israel, all of this serves as examples for us in verse 6 and verse 11, that we might not desire evil as they did. The murmuring in verse 10 is a Greek word, gangutso, which means to mutter, murmur, grumble, say anything in a low tone, translated complain. It's related to the verse in Acts 6 as well. So I have, in this kind of evaluation of the sinfulness of murmuring, I've come up with 8 things, and I want to read them to you. It's not in a handout, but I want you just to hear it and recognize the sinfulness of murmuring so that we will not be tempted to do it. Here's a summary of murmuring and complaining a sin. Number one, murmuring is a sin and it's offensive to God. We're commanded not to do it. It's a sin and offensive to God. Number two, it reflects a wrong attitude towards God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number three, even when Christians murmur against brothers and sisters, we're murmuring against God. I'm just summarizing some of the things I've already said. It's a sin against God no matter who is the object of our murmuring. It's, number four, related to pride, judging, speaking evil, but it's more secretive and it's related to impatience. Number five, it's idolatry. We're worshiping ourselves. Number six, it's rebellion against God. Number seven, it's an attack on God's character. It's an attack on his love, mercy, sovereignty, justice, omniscience, goodness. It's an attack on God's character. It's connected to other sins like idolatry, lust, immorality, testing God, anger, jealousy, envy, covetousness, judging, impatience, and hypocrisy. Now, I know you couldn't write those down, and I apologize, but I wanted to give a summary, boom, 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 of all of the things that I could think of, that why this is such a horrible sin, and I just give you the full impact. It's sin and offensive to God. It reflects a wrong attitude towards God. And it's murmuring against God, not necessarily who we've directed it at. It's a sin against God. It's related to other sins like pride and judging and speaking evil. It's idolatry. It's rebellion against God. It's an attack on his character, number 7. And 8, it's connected to other sins. The more we murmur, the more likely we are to engage in these other sins. So thank you for your patience in me reading that long summary. Let's look at the principles. These are, and I've made these principles, not principles and comments, but I've made this truly principles that we're to live by. This is how we can have victory over murmuring. Number 1, believers must recognize that God uses trials and difficulties and hardships to strengthen, prove, and mature their faith in him while increasing their desire and ability to live in a Christ-like manner. And James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Number 2, believers must not accuse others of causing or intensifying a difficult situation or an irritating circumstance. It's not the responsibility of believers to judge others' motives or actions. It's a responsibility of believers to react to and deal with difficulties in a way that's pleasing to God. James 1, 12 through 14. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James 4, 11 through 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And finally, James 5, 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate, pitiful, and of tender mercy. So keeping in mind these things will help us not to murmur. When believers suffer, number 3, even if it's due to the thoughtless or intentional acts of others, we must not murmur and complain, but instead honor God by reacting in a Christ-like manner and pray and trust God to superintend. James 5:13 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And in Philippians 4, 6 through 13, here's the lifestyle that will help us not murmur. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Number four, believers must not murmur against God or one another. Murmuring is sin. And I read all of those things so you could see how sinful it was, and it is. It is associated with other sins, and it will destroy the testimony and ministry of our church. It won't only just hurt you, it'll hurt all of us. Our love and unity will suffer greatly. We are one in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there to be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's saying Christianity is about love and unity, not division. And murmuring creates divisions and creates contentions. Number five, when a believer is offended or has a complaint against another, he must not discuss it with others. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter tells people, separates friends. So we are not to share our offense with others. We are to go to the person, and the believer must forbear and forgive the other. Colossians 3:12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I was looking at and putting on a charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And I found this quote that said, supernatural love poured into the hearts of believers is the adhesive of the church, the thing that keeps us together as the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Supernatural love poured into our hearts as the believers is the adhesive of the church. So we are to forbear and forgive one another. And we're also to exhort and admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. That word is exhort, that parakaleo, to mean to comfort. And edify or build up one another, even as you do. In Romans 15, 13 through 14. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. That word is nouthesia, N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. It's not in your handout. It means to put into mind through instruction and warning from God's word what the truth is. Nouthesia, to put into mind, instruction, warning from God's word. And then, so we are to forbear and forgive one another, exhort or admonish one another. And in closing, the importance of this command is that murmuring, complaining, grumbling, as I've said a dozen times already, is destructive to the church and the relationships, the fellowships that we have in the body of Christ as members one of another. It's sinful conduct that destroys our ministry and our testimony. Obedience to this command is essential for the effective ministry in love and unity in the church. In closing, I'm going to read Philippians 2, 13 through 15. For it is God that worketh in you to both will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And I say, let us be a people of light. Let us be a people of love and unity, reflecting a Christ-like testimony to the world, not murmuring and disputing. Let us be a people of light. Let us be a people of love and unity, reflecting a Christ-like testimony to the world, not murmuring and disputing. We should be like the lighthouse that sends that beacon out, a testimony to the world, a people of light that shine in a perverse nation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth that you have given us, this command to not grudge, not grumble, not murmur, not complain. For Lord, I pray that you would help us not to do these things, that you would help us to be without rebuke, that we would be a people of light that shine as lights in a perverse nation. Thank you for each one that is listening this morning in Sunday school, those that have tuned in from home and elsewhere, and pray your blessing upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen.